This is Power Lunch, exclusively on Lightning Power Play.
Well, good for Vic, first of all. Not sure he's been completely happy with his game here the last few games, and for him to break out and put a stamp on this one, it was big. It clearly wasn't a penalty, but you know, when he was kind of putting himself in a position, game happens fast, they make the call, and so, but it's great to see him do what he did there. And it's not often you see a defenseman all alone in front of the net like he was in that spot, but he did what he had to do to bury it, and good for him because he's really been working at his game, and for him to be rewarded tonight was great.
Working at his game. Well, it's nice to have a elite defenseman make a couple of plays for you in the third period, and Victor Hedman certainly wanted to atone for a penalty that he took and was disappointed about that and made up for it in a big way as the Lightning come away with a win last night against the St. Louis Blues. I thought it was a pretty impressive performance by the Lightning, understanding that Jordan Binnington wasn't in net for St. Louis because of COVID protocol, but we'll get into that
game. That is not why the Blues lost. Billy Husso played really well.
He did. No doubt about that. Even though Binnington has tremendous numbers against the Lightning, I think you could probably say after that game that the Blues goaltending did all they could to give their team a chance to come away with points. It is Power Lunch on Lightning Power Play. Dave Michigan on that end. Greg Linnelli with you. Steve Ersnick is our producer as we get you set for the weekend. It's going to be a busy week or so for the Lightning. They go on a long road trip, and they'll take on the Boston Bruins tomorrow. We'll get into that game a little bit as well. And, of course, you can always hit us up on Twitter at Bolts Radio. But, Dave, it was an impressive win on a lot of fronts. I thought a lot of players on the Lightning's team, including Gabriel Fortier, had a really solid performance. Sorelli was able to get a power play goal, and it was nice to hear Joe Smith's article in The Athletic the other day talking about his potential placement on Team Canada when it comes to the Olympics, something we had discussed a couple of days
before. Yeah, did he give you a story credit?
I mean,
for the idea?
I can't believe you're asking me that question. Come on. Yeah, he's not. Nobody's going to give us any credit, Dave. We're on the radio, so somebody's going to say, well, how do we know? Maybe somebody brought that up last week. There are so many topics and yada, yada, yada. Okay, whatever. That's fine. But good for Joe to at least get that out there. And I think you and I are kind of in agreement that
I kid, of course. Joe comes up with a lot of really good ideas.
He does.
And I think the vast majority of them are on his own. I mean, he may collaborate now and then with some of the other writers on The Athletic. And sometimes they write collaborative stories. But,
and listen, sometimes you may hear something, and that type of article had some detail in it, so I can't imagine that he just did that the night before or was like, hey, I'm going to listen to Lightning Power Play, and hey, I'm going to write this extensive article on why Sorelli needs to be on Team Canada.
What a
but
great idea
said,
by Greg. Let me turn this around
said,
in 12 hours.
That being said, he did not release it, and we had no idea he was writing it, so we were kind of probably on the same wavelengths, and whatever. It was a good story. It's good to see Sorelli get another goal. Hedman with a couple day. Vassy was solid. Bogosian plays in his 700th career game. We had him on in the post game. Good for him. That's a nice milestone. And, you know, once again, Radish, Kachuk, throw Colton in there. Those guys continue to at least tilt the ice in their favor in the offensive zone, and the St. Louis Blues came up a bit short, and it was a nice win as they get set for this road trip.
Yeah, so I'm going to start with the part of the game that did not go smoothly for the Lightning. And I'm going to start there to illustrate, first of all, the fact that that was a minority of the game and contrast it with the rest of the game, which did go quite well for the Lightning. Where the Lightning had some tough sledding was when the Blues had their power plays. And St. Louis has the number two power play in the league. They went 2-for-4, so both of their goals came in the power play. They had 7 shots, and I'm going to leave the fourth one, which was the one in which they pulled the goalie about a minute into the power play for a 6-on-4. Let's put that one aside for a second. Of the first three, they scored on the second and third chances. And the first chance, they had the puck in the Lightning end for virtually the entire 2 minutes. And doing most of the heavy lifting was what I have to believe is their second unit. I mean, I don't know that for a fact, but this is really a situation, I think, on St. Louis where you really have a 1A, 1B on the power play. as opposed to a lot of teams, including the Lightning, frankly, where the first unit almost always starts and is usually out there for at least a minute, if not more, and the second unit does not get as much ice time. You look at how the Blues are distributing their goals and points on the power play, and this is a well-distributed power play in terms of like points up and down the lineup. So, you know, Saad scored his fourth power play goal for the Blues' first goal, and at the time that gave him the team lead, but there were a bunch of other guys with like three goals, two goals. They get contributions from both units, and last night, and frankly, even the game in St. Louis, they got a goal from Barbashev. It was the unit on which Braden Schenn was not on, and O'Reilly was not on, and Torrey Krug was not on, and Tarasenko was not on that unit. It was the other unit with Robert Thomas, Buchnevich, Barbashev, Robert Thomas. Did I mention him already?
I don't know.
Thomas was outstanding.
He was had a tremendous pass.
Yeah. Yeah, so Thomas, Saad, Buchnevich, Barbashev, and the defenseman, Perunovic, who is new to the league. So clearly he wasn't on that unit at the start. They were zipping that puck around really impressively. And you remember Buchnevich had that chance on the first power play. Vasi made a terrific save on him. But they were applying pressure. And they did not get the bulk of the time on the second power play. That was the O'Reilly unit. And the Lightning were doing a good job of killing off much of it. In fact, they had a shorthanded chance from Killorn. Remember that chance that Killorn had? And then the puck came back down the ice. There was not as much time left in the power play, and the Blues sent out the Thomas unit. Thomas wins the faceoff, and they score. And then on the third power play, the one in which Buchnevich scored, the Lightning won the draw but couldn't clear the zone, and they moved that puck around. It was dizzying, almost, how well they moved it around, and Buchnevich ends up scoring on a shot that hit off Chernak's stick and deflected into the top of the net. Let's give some credit to the St. Louis power play. It created a lot for them, chances and goals, fair number of chances, two goals, and I think they got momentum from it. Like the second period was St. Louis's best period. I think those back-to-back power plays gave them a lot of jump, and that was really when they were at their best five-on-five. And then, of course, they had the six-on-four power play into a six-on-five, and they had a lot of zone time there too. But the Lightning, and this is a credit to the Lightning, but they blocked six shots with Husso on the bench. So when the Blues had the extra attacker out there, they had two shots that reached Vasilevsky in the last, whatever it was, 3 minutes of the game. Six other attempts the Lightning blocked. They blocked 22 shots in the game last night, 12 in the third period, six in the last couple of minutes, or 3 minutes, I guess, when Husso went to the bench. So the Blues, when they had an extra guy out on the ice, were very dangerous. But most of the game was not played that way. Most of the game was played 5-on-5, and when the game was played 5-on-5, I thought the Lightning were far and away the better team. Far and away. I mean, it wasn't even close. They really dominated the first period again. They didn't go up 3-0 this time, but that was due to Husso. I mean, Husso made 12 first-period saves. You can think about the saves that he made. I mean, Palat scores, but he stops Perry on a 2-on-1. He makes a tremendous save on Radish right on the doorstep. He made three saves in a row on Barry Boulay. 1, 2, 3, right in front. I mean, how many is that? That's five saves right there.
Well, how about the 2-on-1 Cirelli and Killorn had, and then Saad comes back and scores the goal?
So that was in the second. That was in the second period. I was talking about that with the shorthanded, but in the first period alone, Husso kept his team within one. I mean, the Lightning could have been up 4-5-0 in the first period. I talked about what happened in the second period. I think the Lightning's penalty trouble, even though it didn't take a lot, it doesn't take much with the St. Louis power play, affected them. But even at the beginning of the period, Colton had a 2-on-1 with Radish. Husso made a really good save on Colton. And then you mentioned the Killorn shorthanded bid. He was terrific last night. But in the third period, even though the Lightning didn't have quite as much possession And some of that was due to the fact that they were shorthanded, and then the Blues pulled the goalie. So they had two power plays, the Blues did, and they pulled the goalie near the end. I think when it was 5-on-5, the Lightning, again, were more dangerous. And we can talk about the two Hedman goals, but both of those resulted from good forechecking pressure by the Lightning. Radish on the 3-2 goal, and then really the five-man unit on the last goal. Scandella is under duress and just like throws it to the middle of the ice, and it was a perfect pass to Hedman. I mean, he put it right on Hedman's stick, and Hedman finishes. So outside of the time when the Lightning were down a man, I thought they pretty much dictated play throughout. But when, say, Lewis had the extra guy, they really flexed their muscle, and they used that to score and to generate some momentum. And look, you're going to have to kill penalties in a game. I'm not suggesting the Lightning should have, like, dominated for the full 60 minutes, and we've talked about how hard that is to do. But I think most of the dangerous looks from the Blues either came on their power plays or stemming from kind of some juice that they got from their power plays. And when that happened, Vasilevsky was really good. I mean, he made it, and so this wasn't a power play, but, you know, Walman, the young defenseman who came in because Justin Faulk went on the protocol list, came out of the penalty box, had a breakaway.
Yep.
Game's 1-1 in the second. Vasi made another good save on O'Reilly right at the end of the second period when O'Reilly kind of got loose down the wing. Remember that play, Greg?
Mm-hmm.
So
I do.
The Blues had their moments, but I thought the Lightning had far more. And coming off the disappointing result Tuesday in St. Louis, the fact that the Lightning didn't get a second point, this was a really strong outing. Also,
you
given
know, Dave,
the fact that it's their one home game in the stretch of eight.
Yeah.
So I think it was important that the Lightning got the 2 points. Not only did they get the 2 points, they played a pretty good game in getting those 2 points.
And I have to be honest with you, I feel like some games have been a bit better than others. I understand that. But I think this has kind of been a theme here over the last month. I don't know how you feel, where I think for the most part, Dave, the Lightning are playing some really good hockey. I mean, they're having, every once in a while, there's a dip in their play, or, you know, maybe they don't close a game out. And we talked about Minnesota and then the St. Louis game on the road, and that is acknowledged. But either they had the lead in those games or they had chances to win those games and pick up points, multiple points, on that road trip. And I'm not just citing those two, but they're fresh in my mind. But I feel like we have, over the last certainly 2 weeks, but even the last 3 or 4, where the Lightning have entered a stretch of hockey, Dave, where it's been pretty consistent. They've been pretty consistently good, and I think it's reflective in, for the most part, how the guys are playing, where they are in the standings. And I know we kind of look at the standings with, you know, we take it with a grain of salt because we understand big picture for the Lightning is getting into the playoffs and doing their damage there. But it's fun to glance at them every once in a while, even if you're a team like the Lightning. And there they are, you know, just kind of plugging away. 30 points through 22 games. They're in third place in the Atlantic. But, you know, they've got at least a couple of games in hand on Toronto, who's playing really well. And it took a really big win streak for Toronto, specifically on the road, to leapfrog Tampa Bay. But, you know, the Lightning not only are playing a nice brand of hockey, but, Dave, something you've discussed over the years when we talk about the standings and where they are. And, again, I'm not completely interested in looking at where Tampa Bay is specifically to Florida and Toronto right now, because a lot can change. But look how much distance they're putting themselves with when it comes to the teams behind them. You know, Detroit's at 27 points, but Boston's at 24. And, oh, Dave, don't look now, but tomorrow's a 4-point swing. Nice chance for you maybe to separate yourselves from a Boston team that's been up and down and doesn't have Brad Marchand tomorrow. But Buffalo, Montreal, I mean, those teams 19 and 14 points.
Yeah.
And I don't know
what
if Tampa
a collapse,
Bay...
What a collapse by the Sabres.
Yeah. I mean,
now, look, the Panthers have done that, and they can do it. Like, when they get rolling.
They're an elite team.
Yeah.
They're an elite team. But, you know, whether Tampa Bay finishes in first, second, third, or is a wild card, we'll find out. But what I'm telling you is, and, you know, again, you've brought this point up before, and I think it's worth mentioning 22 games into the regular season. A, the Lightning, I think, through those 22 games, there have been a couple of games that have stood out where it's been a clunker. But I have to be completely transparent here. I think the Lightning, all things considered, who's been in the lineup, who hasn't been in the lineup, have been very solid. And because of that, Dave, they've allowed themselves to just kind of hover around in the Atlantic Division in that top three spot, but they're also really giving themselves a nice cushion when it comes to the rest of the teams in that division. And that just bodes well for them as the season progresses, because as you know, just take a look at St. Louis last night, take a look at the Islanders, take a look at everybody else in the league. You just never know when adversity is going to hit you. I'm sure St. Louis wasn't planning on, A, having a backup beer league goaltender behind who, so even though they didn't need him, but certainly Justin Falk, who didn't play last night right at the last minute, and Binnington, of course, probably caught them by surprise as well. So pad the standings. Yeah,
Bozak
and Bozak
missed both games against the Lightning.
Yeah, so adversity is going to hit. It's been hitting Tampa Bay in a different way, more so injuries than COVID, but get as many points now. And by doing that, they're playing some really good hockey. And I just think that's something we need to take a step back and say, I've been pretty impressed with how the Lightning have played so far this year.
Well, I agree. And I'm going to circle back to last night's game again, because I think that this game that we just talked about is a microcosm of what the Lightning have done well in a lot of these games, which is they've defended well.
Yes.
They've defended hard. When the other team surges, they're really digging in and trying to limit chances against. And you can look at those 22 block shots, the majority of which came in the third period. And I think that the Lightning have lost some games in overtime in the shootout. Yeah. But I think when the Lightning have had a chance to make a play in a lot of these games, and some of them have been in overtime where they won a game in overtime, they have more often than not found a way to make a play. And I think last night they made three important plays in the third period. Because that game was 1-1, and I don't know about you, Greg, you had a feeling like maybe the next goal is going to win it. It just felt like a game where there wasn't going to be a lot of offense. And, you know, the Lightning had struggled a little bit on their first two power plays against a pretty aggressive St. Louis penalty kill. And they worked that aggressiveness against the Blues when they got their third chance. And that was a big goal by Cirelli. So at 2-1, you think, all right, well, maybe this is going to be it. Let's see how the Lightning handle the rest of the game. Now they got the lead back. And I'm gonna go back to the power play goal for just a second. Brian Engblom talked about this in the last call. Like, when the Lightning get the puck in the offensive zone of the power play, particularly after a faceoff win, and it goes to Hedman, often he goes to Palat at the right circle, the way they have the power play set up. And the Blues were ready for that. You could see it on the earlier power plays, how much they swarm Palat. Yeah. Palat actually did pretty well. He didn't really lose the puck at any point, but he was, like the football term, he was hurried, right?
It was like a hot potato. He was
he had to try and make a quick play, and they were on him, and where he got it, like the puck might not be a smooth pass because it was bobbling, and you know, whoever was receiving the pass now had to wait for it a little bit, and that player was under pressure. So the Lightning changed things up on the play in which Cirelli scored. Instead of going to the right side and Palat, Hedman fed it to Killorn on the left side.
Yeah.
And it was literally like I couldn't even get the play-by-play out. I was starting a sentence, if you listen to the radio call, like I say Hedman gets the puck, and you could see the Blues are starting to come at him. And I made a statement about this aggressive St. Louis penalty kill score. So it took that long, that little time, for the puck to get from Hedman to Killorn to Cirelli to in the net. And so credit the Lightning for making an adjustment, not only in terms of where they went with the puck, but how well they executed on that play. So now it's 2-1, and then you get the adversity with the call against Hedman that Coop talked about that, I mean, we never really saw a replay.
I was going to say,
we weren't looking for one.
No, everybody was complaining about it, and I felt like we didn't really see a replay.
Yeah, we must have missed the boat on that. Yeah. We weren't. Right. We're like, okay. Mikola just got a high stick. I guess Hedman just got a high stick. And it did look like Tarasenko's head snapped back. But I guess the Lightning felt he sold it. And we bought it because we didn't even bother to look at a replay, I guess. So Hedman knew that he didn't high stick Tarasenko. So he's having to deal with that, and then the Blues score, so it's 2-2. And how many times do we say it? Shift after a goal. Shift after a goal. Radish, Kachuk, Colton. Come out, offensive zone shift. They're ready for a change. The three guys are starting to head off, but Radish is the deep guy. So he's the last guy heading back to the neutral zone. And as he's leaving the zone, the Blues had a little bit of a mishandle on the puck, and he sees it and he gets it. So look, if you're Radish at that point, and this is a great point for Radish in terms of where he is right now. If he's playing his second NHL game, this is the first month of the season, let's say, and I don't know that he's going out on an important shift like the one after a goal is scored, but whether he is or he isn't, it's a tie game. You're in the third period. You're at the end of a shift. You need to get to the bench. And on your way to the bench, the puck is there. You have a chance to get it. And you get it. What do you do? Well, you could just chip it behind the net and say, all right, I'm going to get it deep and make sure I get off. What Radish did, what he did was not high risk, but what he did was take the puck and control it and carry it down low. And now the Blues have to worry about him. They think they're out of the zone. They think they're out of trouble. No. Radish gets it down low. And if you watch the replay, three St. Louis players have to come to him to try and dislodge the puck. And while that's happening, Maroon comes off the bench for Kachuk. And so finally, Radish, he's kind of tied up, and O'Reilly is the third guy, and O'Reilly comes to grab the puck, but he's got Radish and the two other St. Louis players between him and the blue line. So he kind of finesses it up the boards, and who's waiting for it? Maroon. And then he gets it to Hedman, and you know the Blues had these guys stacked over by Radish. So Hedman has room to move kind of from the point, the left point, to the middle of the ice toward the high slot, and then he just unloads a bomb and beats Huso cleanly. But what a great decision. Certainly it was great because it led to a goal, but what a bold decision by Radish there.
You know, Dave,
when you consider the circumstances, but my point is that that came essentially the shift, or maybe the shift plus a half a change after the Blues had tied it. Those are killer goals to allow. Killer. And then 2 minutes plus later, Hedman makes it 4-2.
Dave,
those are huge plays at key
you're right.
moments.
You're right. I think what I'm about to say probably makes your point even more glamorous from the standpoint that might have been the most impactful play of the game. Because where the game was at that moment, it was 2-2. And remember, they're coming off a goal where Buchnevich, his blast goes off Chernak.
Right.
Up and over Vasi. Not much he could do, but you're thinking, all right, you know, now they tie it 2-2. You never know what's going to happen. It's basically
midway
through.
And they had gotten momentum from their earlier power play success.
Correct. So, you know, it was basically a minute after that goal.
Yeah.
Where the Lightning respond, and it took a rookie, and this is maybe hockey awareness, hockey IQ, hockey instincts. To your point, I think he saw an opening and he took it. And he had enough skill set in his arsenal, Dave, to keep that puck in St. Louis's zone and wait for some reinforcements to come. Because as you saw with Maroon getting the puck and then Hedman, you can see Radish leaving the zone to go for a line change.
Yeah, he did his job.
He did his job, right. I mean, but he basically was like, I'm going to empty the tank. I see an opening. I'm going to try and keep that puck in St. Louis's zone and see if I can create something once I get some reinforcements. It happens. Credit to Hedman for making the play. Credit everybody on the ice for the Lightning making that play. But when it happened, Dave, I thought was most impactful because it gives Tampa Bay that 3-2 lead. So, again, let's go back to the conversation with the young players. I understand the storyline at this point, 22 games in, they haven't scored their first NHL goal. And that's going to be a theme until they do. It's just where they are. You brought the point up on the broadcast yesterday. We have talked about it a number of times on the show, is that they are still picking up some points, but they are tilting the ice. They are not just taking up space and taking up a roster spot. They are making impactful plays. They are allowing the Lightning to throw that line out there at times and not feel like it's a hindrance to what they want to do in that game. And that's a credit to Radish, Tkachuk, Colton. It's a credit to the coaching staff. But it's a big reason, Dave, why this team has gotten off to the start they have. Those younger guys, which was maybe the biggest question mark coming into the season. Again, we talked about it. Everybody was talking about it. The coaching staff was talking about it. I'm sure they were curious. How are we going to replace the players we lost who were so impactful? And we're starting to see, in addition to Perry, who had another strong game last night, yeah. Belmar and Maroon, in addition to those three guys playing very well, the youngsters are starting to play very well game in and game out. You know, some better, some not. But for the most part, it's been pretty noticeable. And it's, I think, Dave, allowed the Lightning to be in this spot to overcome the adversity with players like Point and Kucherov out. But what it also has done is I think it's created some internal competition amongst them. They might not even know it because, as we have said, Dave, when everybody does come back, somebody has to sit. And I'm sure in the back of their minds, they're thinking, look, we have great chemistry. We don't want to get sent down to the minors. We need to do everything we can, game in and game out, to show the coaching staff that we deserve to play. But it's also the reality of where they are logistically, that not all of them are going to be able to be in the lineup at the same time, assuming everybody's healthy. And sometimes that competition, Dave, can bring out the best. And I do think we are seeing some younger players for this team not only just, again, take up a roster spot, but they're actually doing something when they're on the ice. And I think it's been really fun to watch. And yesterday, the play Radish made, in addition to Tkachuk, who had some chances as well,
mm-hmm.
It's been noticeable.
Radish had another play, what was it, early third, when he chipped it past the defenseman, and he and Tkachuk had a two-on-one, and he tried to saucer it across and went over Kachuk's stick. Otherwise, how many times have we said this? It would have been a goal for one of those guys.
Right.
But like, we have harped a lot on the fact that they have been snake-bitten, which they have been, because they haven't scored, and they have been so close. And Radish, again, in the first period last night, had a close call, and Husso made a save on him. But they have contributed assists, and some of the assists have been really important. Now, Radish didn't get an assist last night because O'Reilly ended up technically taking the puck and then turning it over to Maroon.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Radish had a major impact on that goal getting scored, and there have been other plays in which these guys have gotten assists. I mean, we thought Radish had scored the first goal Tuesday in St. Louis. He didn't, but he deserved a point on that. You know, he batted the puck out of the air and put it off the post before Cirelli jabbed it in. And think about the assist that Boris Tkachuk has had.
Oh.
I mean, that assist on the Hedman goal. Which game was that? The Lightning were wearing the black jersey, so it was a Saturday. I remember that. That was an incredible.
That was a beautiful pass. It was a quick pass too. I remember he had it on a stick and immediately found Hedman.
It might have actually been the New Jersey game, which otherwise was quite not memorable because there were a lot of things that didn't go the Lightning's way, particularly in the third period. But what a play Tkachuk made on that particular goal for Hedman.
I've said this before and I'll stay consistent, but I will tell you right now, it's becoming a little bit tougher to make this call, understanding a lot can change. I've told you before, Dave, I think when all the players do come back, Tkachuk, I think from preseason on, has been the most consistent, and I think he would probably stay in the lineup for me. But I tell you right now, what's been impressive about Radish is that I'm noticing him more and more game in and game out. And there's something to be said for that. I think Barry Bublé is in a little bit of a different spot because he's a skilled guy, and the guys who are coming back are skilled players. And I just think Tkachuk and Radish's skill sets are better served where they are right now than Barry Bublé. It's really not a knock on Barry Bublé.
He seems to get chances every game. I mean, he had them in the first
period really does.
Last night. He had those
really
chances
does.
In overtime.
Yeah, and that's a credit to him.
Four on three, but
no doubt. And listen,
the game Tuesday I'm talking about in overtime, but the Dave, one last night he had those opportunities in the first period.
We don't want to think about last year, but certainly organizations do, and we can as well for just a second here. Again, the Lightning are going to have to make some changes to their roster, probably year in and year out. Some tough decisions will be made, and Barboulet could be a guy that slides in more of a top six role if the Lightning decide to move on from certain guys, assuming the cap situation continues to stay stagnant, which it probably will. So what he's doing is very good. It's just where the Lightning are right now, the way the roster is built, they're going to need more reinforcements in the bottom six than maybe in the top six once everybody gets healthy. I think that's where the openings will be. And I think Tkachuk and Radish's skill sets, throw Jamel Smith in there once he finally is healthy and is probably in the mix as well. Those are guys that I feel like can really give this team not only a jolt, Dave, but honestly, it's young talent and some untapped potential. So, like, we're watching those lines right now and we're saying, boy, they're making an impact. But, Dave, the great thing about young players, as you know, we don't know what their ceiling is. I mean, they could elevate their play in 2 months from here now where, you know, they're scoring goals and they're really making a difference and they're scoring and they're dictating play even more so than they are right now. You know, when you have like a Maroon, a Perry, and a Belmar, I think you understand what they are. You look at them and say, okay, I know what I'm going to get from Corey Perry. I know what Pat Maroon's going to bring most nights and Belmar for the most part. I think with young players like Radish and Tkachuk, we're still finding out what is their ceiling. And it gives you an opportunity to see more improvement as the year progresses. So anyways, the bottom line, what my point was is I think Radish, it's a compliment to him. I think he has narrowed that gap, if there was one, between him and Tkachuk. If you were having a conversation about who would come out when everybody's healthy, thank goodness the Lightning, I think for those two players' sakes, don't have to make that decision. But Radish, I think, has opened up my eyes in a very positive way the last couple of weeks. And if he continues to do this, Dave, the coaching staff, in a very good way, is going to have a tough decision to make when it comes to, you know, who stays in and who doesn't.
Yeah, and I don't know if the decision about individual players might be tied to how well the line is played. I mean, the line, we don't know that this line is going to stay together the entire rest of the year. I mean, we still have three quarters of the regular season to go here. But how can you even think about breaking up this line right now? Mm-hmm. Sometimes yeah. You're forced to based right. on injuries or other lineup considerations. But I would be surprised if they continue playing the way that they are, that line doesn't stay together.
Dave, they'll be the first team to go 13 forwards and 5 defensemen.
So before we break, I do want to have a quick word about Fortier, who played his second NHL game. And I remember kind of taking note of his skating ability in the preseason, but it has been really noticeable in these first two NHL games that this guy can fly. I don't think it was an icing, but the puck was put in behind the St. Louis net. So he didn't negate an icing. In fact, the St. Louis player got there first, but Fortier was like right there, got on him immediately. There were some pucks sliding down the ice that were skate races, and the St. Louis defenseman had a lead on Fortier, and that lead evaporated. It almost went away completely where Fortier got to the puck first, and he does play an aggressive, fearless game in terms of going to the net. 3 shots last night. I remember he had a chance in the second period, and I didn't even mention that, around the side of the net. Husso made a really good save on him. He had a close call in the third where he threw the puck to the net. It almost banked in. So he has showed well in these first couple of games. And, you know, sometimes guys come up and they kind of tiptoe their way in because they don't want to make a mistake. He has not done that. Other times, guys show up with a bang, and they can't keep it going. And I think the jury is out on that, if he's going to be able to maintain it. And some of it may be out of his hands as the Lightning start to get healthy and Joseph is day-to-day. But
would you describe him?
You can't describe his game and not say, like, he has done quite well in first two games.
The puck follows him. At least the last couple of games from what I've seen. And he has, I mean, I think he passed up an opportunity to shoot the puck in a prime scoring chance. And
yeah,
you
there
still
was
had that
in the
discussion and whatever. I mean, look, the great players in today's game pass up shots, except for Alex Ovechkin. So that's not a knock on him. I think he's had a little bit of a shoot first mentality. The speed is evident, and that's a trend with most Lightning prospects. Is they're fast and they have pretty good hockey IQ. Dave, is it fair to say that he is? I don't want to label somebody too much because I've only seen him a couple of games and then preseason, but he's more skill than a third or fourth line grinder. Eventually, that may be his role. I don't know, but would you say that he's probably a guy that, I don't want to say is more Barry Boulay type than Tkachuk type, but maybe has
a little... Well, it's early. I mean, I haven't seen the guy play more than a handful of times, including the preseason. Now, he had a hat trick in the preseason. One of those was a shot right off a faceoff.
Yeah.
It was a shorthanded goal, I think, actually.
I think
it was right off a draw. He put it right into the top of the net. So, look, he does have some skill, but what has struck me is he has some sandpaper to his game. So you're combining speed, which is clearly on display if you watch this guy when he's out there, and a willingness to kind of get his nose dirty.
And, you know, he's 21 years old.
That's what I've noticed in these first couple of games.
Yeah. I mean, look, the pedigree's there a bit, second-round pick. And, again, the Lightning have a couple of those guys in the lineup right now, Tkachuk, Radish, Fortier. And I know there's been a lot of talk about the Lightning and, you know, maybe their minor league system's been depleted a bit. Depleted because a lot of these guys are graduating to the NHL level. But look at, you're getting second-round picks to the NHL roster, which is impressive.
He was actually their first pick that year. They didn't have a first-round pick, and that's happened to the Lightning in some recent
59th
years.
59th overall.
59th yeah, so overall. He was the first player they selected. I would be interested in asking, it's probably more a Stacey Roost question than Al Murray, but how much has his skating improved since he turned pro, which was last year, or did he always have this in his toolbox?
You know what, maybe we can put in a request for Al or Stacey next week. That might not be, since they're going to be on the road, that might not be a terrible idea.
Because I have to be honest, Greg, and again, I haven't seen this guy play that much, and you know, we haven't had as much exposure to some of these development camps, you know, with COVID. Like, we didn't have one in 2020. 2021, we had the camp leading into that tournament, right? Mm-hmm. But, and he did play in that, didn't he? I think he was in that because he was only a first-year pro at that point. But it's not like I've seen this guy play year in, year out in some of these development camps. And this was the first year that he really got a chance to make an impact in a preseason game. So I have to be honest, I just don't remember his foot speed being as notable and being as memorable, clearly. There's no doubt I've noticed it in these first two games. I mean, this guy can skate.
He can skate. No, he can skate.
And oh, yeah.
I think it's one of the reasons why you saw him, too, in the overtime period a couple of nights ago, too. You put him out there with that much space. Maybe the kid breaks free. So it's been fun. A lot of positive things, folks, developing with this Lightning team. And I'm curious what your take is when it comes to the Lightning 22 games in and the younger players. Has it changed your perspective on, you know, who they have in the pipeline and who may come out, who may not come out, and we can really get into that as well. The Boston Bruins are the team Tampa Bay takes on tomorrow in Boston. What are you expecting? What are your expectations for this upcoming road trip for the Lightning? We'll talk about that when we return just a bit, and we'll take your questions as well. At Bolts Radio, that's us on Twitter. He's Dave Michigan. I'm Greg Linnelli. It's Power Lunch on Lightning Power Play.
Hey, it's Seth Kushner, host of The Block Party, and we are coming off a big one. We just had Yanni Gourde stop by last week. This week, Jan Rutta is on the show. A lot of people don't know Jan Rutta, very, very nice and sneaky funny. I asked Jan a very important question about who the very hairy man on his Instagram is, breaking his ankle on a block shot in the playoffs, and trying to embrace Thanksgiving. It's Jan Rutta on The Block Party, wherever you get your podcasts. Download it twice.
This is Power Lunch, exclusively on Lightning Power Play on the iHeartRadio app.
Glad you're with us here on the show. Greg Linnelli with you. Dave Michigan on that end. Steve Ersnick is our producer. Talking about the game last night, the Lightning head to Boston. They'll take on the Bruins tomorrow. And again, as we said before, you know, an opportunity there to gain a little more separation from you and the Bruins.
Boston's always been a tough challenge for sure, although they won't have. Is it Brad Marchand or Marchand? Has he changed his name this year again, Dave? I never can tell.
Yeah, but so it's Shand, and it's actually, the way I say it, you hit the first syllable, so it's Marchand.
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 Brad Marchand.
He changed back to Shand a few years ago, and I didn't get on that train. I let that train leave the station.
You let that, now if you were confronted by that, and they said, look, you really got to say his name correctly, what would you say?
Well, because I think TV and radio on the Boston side, I may be wrong about this, but I'm fairly kind, unless things have changed since we last saw the Bruins, which is what I really want to talk about, because we haven't seen the Bruins since the playoffs in 2020. But I believe radio still calls him Marchand. TV, it's Marchand.
Isn't that amazing?
So they are not even. And if I'm wrong and people are listening in Boston and they want to correct me, please
Why
do
wouldn't
so.
They?
But he already had one change. And I think the limit on the amount of times you can request a pronunciation change when English is your first language, particularly, I kind of accept one, and then and I'm like, all right, you made your choice.
You get one change, and that's it.
You get one. The other one I remember, yeah. and this might have been. This might have been partially where he was playing. Remember Alex Tanguay?
Yes, I do.
So I actually met Alex Tanguay when he first turned pro, because he was a first-round pick of Colorado, and Colorado's affiliate was Hershey. And I was in Hershey, and he came for a playoff run. It was a short playoff run that year, but his junior season ended. And so I met him when he was about to turn pro. But in Colorado, it was Tanguay. And I think that's how we were. And I usually ask the player, and I want to say that he said Tanguay. But then he went to another team. He played in Montreal and Calgary. And in one of those places, he became Tanguay. And then he returned. I don't want to say he returned. He returned to me. He came back into my orbit because the Lightning brought him in, I think it was 09-10. And there was some confusion. Is it Tanguay or Tanguay? And I think the change had less to do with how he said it and more to do with, like, he's in Canada, this is how they're saying it. And so I think with the Lightning, we went with Tanguay, because that was how he had been. That was how Colorado had pronounced it during really his dominant stretch in the NHL.
Yeah.
That's different, though. So Brad Marchand, when he came into the league, was Marchand, which is how I think you said it. And he's from the province of Quebec. So, like, I see that name, and I would probably guess it would be Brad Marchand. That's just kind of how you would probably figure you would say the name if you were, you know, a Quebecois or whatever. So the Bruins win the Stanley Cup, Game 7 in Vancouver. Marchand, as he was known then, scored the game-winning goal. He might have had two goals that game. And it's like 2 years later, he says, actually, my name is Marchand. I remember talking with Dave Gosher, who was the longtime radio voice of the Bruins. He now does TV in Vegas. And he's like, really? Really?
Yeah.
I had you in the Game 7 call, Marchand. And now it's Marchand. So that was a change that he decided to make, and maybe English is not his first language. So I will amend that if French is his first language. But he's definitely fluent in English. So a couple of years after he's already in the league, he decides to make a change.
You're
and
not
so
giving
it's
him
Marchand
that
for like yeah. 5, 6, 7 years. He's going back to the Stanley Cup final. He's in All-Star games. Everyone's calling him Marchand, and then Jack Edwards goes through like a pronunciation thing where the guys have to say their names at the start of training camp, which is not uncommon. You like to get them saying it. And he's like, oh, by the way, it's Marchand. It's the soft A now. So Jack is like, okay, that's how he wants it. And I think radio was like, mm-mm. We're not making a change again. And I'm like, all right, well, if radio is calling him Marchand, I'm going to call him Marchand. Marchand. So I usually like approach it when in Rome, but in this case, Rome might be divided a little bit.
Rome has always been divided.
But
at times.
All right, that and was conquered. That was a long side path on Brad Marchand's pronunciation. But what I find interesting is that so he will not be in the lineup tomorrow, but he is still on their team, obviously, and that top line is still intact, and they are still a terrific line. But you think about the Bruins lineup, how it looked when they met in the playoffs in the bubble, and how much is different. So Krug is not there anymore, but we didn't see the Bruins at all last year, and this is the first time we're seeing them this year. So yeah. Krug is gone. Chara is gone. David Krejci went back to Europe, so he is no longer there. The goaltending situation, I mean, remember Rask left the bubble, so it was Yaroslav Halak who played goal for them. Mm-hmm. He was in that series every game against the Lightning. I mean, they have a completely different goaltending situation now because Rask is dealing with an injury, right?
Yep.
I mean, this is a very different-looking Boston team. Now, some guys are still there, like Grizzlick, Carlo.
McAvoy.
I didn't mention him. Yeah, so he's an elite defenseman. Charlie Coyle's a really good player for them. DeBrusque was a part of that team, though, and he's very unhappy and wants a trade, as we talked about on the show a couple of days ago.
Although he scored
so
last
night. Curious to see how this Boston team is similar but also a little bit different. And where they are similar is their top guys are still their top guys. And probably their top power play, with the exception of Krejci, looks very much the same. Although Krug played on that top power play, I think, before, and now it's clearly McAvoy. But
what's interesting about the Bruins is that, you know, you take Krejci out, who was a very, very responsible and very solid player. You know, he gave them a little depth on a team that didn't have a ton. Because, you know, that was always the knock. And I think probably to this day still is. Now, they have Taylor Hall. And sometimes you forget about that.
Yeah. And Nick Foligno.
And Nick Foligno. Although Nick Foligno is more of a, you know, to me, a grinder at this point in his career. Somebody
right. But an established NHL guy. But he's new to their team this year.
He is. But I think the question probably still remains for them is, do they have enough depth, you know, scoring?
Yeah.
And, you know, their goaltending, time will tell. I think they're pretty high on Swayman.
Yeah, I think they are too.
We'll see how that plays out. You know, Allmark, I think, is a serviceable backup at this point, but, you know, who knows how that's all going to play out. Again, we haven't seen them in a while.
Remember we saw Dan Vladar in that one game in the playoffs
that was
a blowout? So they pulled Halak, and Vladar was the third goalie at that point. But I guess Swayman is really more – he's more the heir apparent now, I guess.
I guess. I'm going to talk to Ty Anderson tomorrow on the pregame show and kind of ask him a little bit, you know, where is this Bruins team? Because – Marchand's out, as you mentioned. Marchand is out. Cassidy,
you say it however you want.
Yeah, Cassidy.
I'm giving you free reign. I will go with the flow.
Cassidy's in protocol, right?
Yeah, he is.
COVID protocol. So that's, you know, can affect your team a little bit when your head coach isn't behind the bench. So I'm interested to see the Bruins as well, Dave. And is it going to be as nasty as we've seen in previous tilts with the Bruins? You know, you had Goodrow and Maroon and Chara and things like, probably, although, you know, Marchand not being in the lineup, that certainly tones things down a tad.
Swayman and Linus Allmark are the goalies that have played this year.
So
it makes me wonder, where is Vladar? I guess I'm going to have to look that up.
Yeah. And I felt like, Dave, wasn't there a lot of, again, we didn't see them last year, so forgive me, but I feel like the last couple of years, there's been some talk about Tuukka Rask retiring.
Yeah,
and you know, I don't know if it's injuries or just he's ready to call it quits. I don't know. And again, we'll find out a little bit more tomorrow when Ty comes on the pregame show. But he's always been a pretty elite goaltender. I know he gets a lot of flack from Bruins fans, but I think, you know, when you take a look at some goaltenders over the last 10, 15 years in that market, Rask has been pretty elite,
mm-hmm.
and he's not there. And they've had to go to Plan B, and it looks like Plan B is a youngster, and they feel pretty good about it. But it was also pretty funny. Could you imagine, this is completely a side note, when Marchand licked Ryan Callahan, Dave, when was that? That was 4 or 5 years ago? Longer than that, maybe?
Yeah.
would the suspension be heavier because of the COVID era we're living in now?
Yeah.
I mean, could you just imagine? Could you imagine that? I'm actually going to miss him tomorrow.
And look, he was suspended for the slew foot. He did trip the guy. But, and by the way, Vladar is in Calgary this year. So it just goes to show, like,
yeah,
maybe I should be better about keeping my finger on the pulse of all of these kind of depth player movements. I mean, I knew Swayman was the guy in Boston, but I confess, other than the fact that Rask was out, I was like, isn't Vladar still in their system? No. So he's moved on to Calgary. He's 4-0-1.
I had to do a double take that Torrey Krug was playing for the Blues.
Well, I knew that. I remember that. Yeah, I remember when he left, because I think the Bruins wanted to keep him, and he elected to leave and go to St. Louis. But, you know, Marchand's comment after he got suspended was interesting. And I actually agree with his statement, because we've talked about this on the air. He said, I've really made an effort in these last few years to change the way I play, essentially. I mean, I'm paraphrasing here, but essentially the stuff like what happened with Callahan and low bridge hits and other plays that drew the ire of the opposition. Like, he has tried to clean that up, and I think he has done that. I think it has made him, in some ways, a more effective player, which goes in the face of this argument that, you know, players like that need to play this way to be effective. Well, Marchand is exhibit A of, like, you don't need to play that way. And I think he felt that the suspension, and I couldn't tell from the quote, and maybe because I didn't get the full context of it, I couldn't tell if he felt that he shouldn't have been suspended at all. It was not a suspendable play. Or, yeah, maybe I should have been suspended, but 3 games?
Yeah.
But he felt that his earlier misdeeds in his career worked against him in this instance. And he took great pains to say, like, I have been a different player in these past few years. And from that standpoint, I do agree with him. I agree with him. I think the Callahan lick play, wasn't that in a playoff series?
I think it was. Yeah.
Would have been the 2018 series then.
Yeah. Crazy. Times have changed a bit. You're right, though. Heck of a player. Not going to be in the lineup tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. Tremendous player.
Well, partner, that's going to wrap it up for us here. Another good week of programming. We'll have the game on Lightning Power Play tomorrow, and then we'll be back at it with our show noon to 1 on Monday. But safe travels, and I'll talk to you from Boston tomorrow.
Talk to you tomorrow.
All right, Dave Mishkin right there. Thanks to Steve Versnick, and thanks to you for listening. We always appreciate it. I am Greg Linnelli. We'll be with you again on Monday, noon to 1 on Lightning Power Play.